Logged On.
Welcome to Logged On, a monthly podcast from Dazed about all things internet culture, from memes to emerging trends, deep web conspiracy theories, and beyond. I'm your host, Gunseli Elchinkaya, and today's guest is Jack Ritger. Jack is an artist and theorist based in the US, working within online art and politics collectives such as New Models and Do Not Research. Some of you might also recognize Jack's contributions to articles I've written for Dazed on deep fried memes, PSYOP realism, and how e-girl influencers are trying to get Gen Z into the military. Jack's recent blog post, Unlimited Hangout, The UFO Story, also goes into depth about some of the topics we're about to discuss. So I recommend everyone check that out also after this episode. So Jack is calling in from Boston today. Jack, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed the first two episodes with Schumann and Anna. So I'm really, really excited to join the Logged On canon here. Let's go.
Yay. Yeah, it's good to have you. Okay, so past episodes have taken a bit more of a conceptual approach. We've looked at what it means to be mid, the clout industrial complex. But for this month's episode, I'm very happy to announce that we will be talking about aliens. So aliens have re-entered mainstream discourse recently, the biggest headlines obviously being the US government's UFO hearing that took place in Washington last month. This was off the back of whistleblower David Grush, a former military intelligence officer, claiming that the US government is in possession of alien vehicles. During the hearing, Grush expanded this statement further to include non-human biological pilots, though obviously refused to expand on this further. To rewind a little bit, however, there has been a general uptick in alien speak since the pandemic, which makes sense given the mainstreaming of conspiracy theories such as QAnon with its satanic baby-eating rituals, COVID denial and microchips, and the general cultural shift towards new spirituality and mystical thinking. In the last year alone, the Pentagon has opened a new office tasked with investigating UFO reports. There's an independent UFO assessing committee set up by NASA, which is holding public meetings ahead of its final reports. There's even a private company, Enigma Labs, releasing a UFO report tracking app. There's also been reports of an alien meteor thought to be found at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean and a large metal cylinder found off a remote beach in Australia. Not to mention the 800-plus UAPs, or unidentified aerial phenomena, reportedly spotted by airline pilots, the videos of which have been kept out of public reach. We're seeing aliens across pop culture too. Drake has a massive alien spacecraft in his most recent live shows, and Wes Anderson's Asteroid City also stars an alien played by Jeff Goldblum. Not to mention all the stuff about starseeds, who are basically people who believe they are aliens from another planet sent to Earth to awaken humanity to the existence of extraterrestrial species. This is a big idea amongst New Agers and witch talk. I won't go too much into this, but basically it links back to QAnon, so it's easy to see how all these kind of conspiratorial strands feed into one another. Okay, so to give a bit of background, alien sightings go all the way back to the 1940s and 50s, but they typically reflect the cultural fears and psychological anxieties of the time. So in the 90s, for example, when aliens really entered the countercultural zeitgeist, there was a lot of external threats surfacing, such as the oil wars. There was also domestic terrorism, such as the Unabomber and the Columbine High School massacre, which raised alarm bells about very real threats on US shores. There was also, of course, the arrival of the personal computer, which was seen by some, depending on who you asked, as a parasite encroaching on your personal world. This paranoia or magical thinking, however you want to see it, was also bolstered by the arrival of chat rooms, which birthed their own urban legends and conspiracies. So in this new and uncharted era of disinformation, it's easy to see how stories of technologies of unknown origins, non-human intelligence, and unexplained phenomena can really fan the flames of alien speak or euphoria. Right now, there's so many man-made horrors beyond our comprehension, like the looming climate crisis, artificial intelligence, and I'm sure we'll touch on many more of these later. But I think what sets aside the most recent discourse is this seismic shift away from the aliens as this kind of kooky tin hat, countercultural-like thing, to a more legitimate narrative that's backed by the government and institutions such as NASA. So to start things off, Jack, it'd be really great to hear from you. Like, what, in your opinion, what do you think is spurring this most recent wave of euphoria?
So the this latest wave of UFO-uria or UFO craze is, I mean, so there's a couple things happening. For one, there's been a decades-long shift within the U.S. Military and intelligence community to take these threats more seriously, to take the sightings of UAPs more seriously, and to create some sort of tracking system internally so that they can be kind of monitored. Traditionally, there's been, you know, a lot of stigma around seeing things in the sky, and people would be discouraged from talking about them or coming forward with these sightings for fear of, you know, retribution at the job or, you know, stigmatization or like losing security clearance, things like that. So they weren't really talked about. But it, you know, inside the Air Force, for instance, they have to deal with these things a lot during test flights, kind of like seeing things in the sky, and it, you know, is a real risk. So there's been a push to try to declassify and have a kind of more transparent, like kind of like open discussion about that within the military. And there has been like pushback internally. So a lot of the stuff that you see coming out is an attempt to use the, you know, public media, you know, public media sphere as a way to push things internally. So that's one thing that's happening, and that has been like a shift, you know, for a while now. And then at the same time, you know, there's this trend of when geopolitical tensions rise, we see the UFO story make a resurgence. So, you know, we saw this at the beginning of the Cold War when the first UFO craze happened, the flying saucer craze of 1947. That was like the first summer of the Cold War. Then we saw it again at the end of the 60s, beginning of the 70s, with, you know, the Vietnam War was at its height. And then, you know, we're seeing it again with, you know, the COVID, COVID mass panic hysteria, and then also Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So there's lots of, you know, really scary geopolitical tensions happening. So we're also seeing the story kind of come back as a way to kind of sublimate those fears into something that is kind of like more culturally resonant, perhaps.
Yeah, no, definitely. Because like for me, I find this quite, I guess like is the core of any conspiracy theory to an extent, but like there's always a grain of truth. And when you look at like aliens, for instance, like, yeah, there are loads of unidentified, unexplained kind of floating objects in the air. Like, yes, we don't know what they are. At the same time, there are like loads of kind of external threats that we're facing. But I think the question for me is like, yeah, like kind of as you said, why is it that aliens are kind of, or alien discourse or speak or whatever, is kind of surfacing in at this particular time now, especially on such a kind of like official, like governmental narrative? I don't know, like I'm thinking of the U.S. committee, for instance.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I think it's like really important to be clear here is that the all of the, you know, official validated government declassifications, disclosures, committees, investigations, like all of that stuff is specifically focused on UAPs and doesn't really talk about aliens, extraterrestrial, or like non-human intelligence. Like it, like they pretty much never talk about that or kind of like provide any kind of attribution. It's simply, we don't know what this is. It's out there, and you know, it really happened, but we have no explanation for it. And so like David Grush, he published this long investigation. You know, he was assigned to this task force to kind of gather all of this information about the UAPs and provide a report. And when it came time to publish, he was receiving a lot of pushback internally. And so in order to kind of like finish the job, he decided to go public with it. And he was going to publish it in the Washington Post, but they were taking too long of a time to fact check it. and he was receiving retaliation internally. And so he published it on kind of like a less reputable news site, Debrief. But he published it with these two very, respected journalists that write for the, New York Times, Washington Post, respectively. But in that report that was like kind of like vetted by these journalists, he only talked about the UAPs. Like, he only talked about these objects without any kind of attribution of kind of like where they came from. It was later in the News Nation interview where he started talking about aliens and biologics and all this other stuff. So I think it's like important to kind of like make that distinction that, that like no one is really making that attribution just yet, except for David Grush.
Yeah, I think one thing I find interesting as well, it's kind of this almost like pointed focus on alien technology specifically. Like, I know obviously Grush was talking about it and was saying that the government has possession of alien vehicles. But I was also reading about this guy, I hope this is how you pronounce his name, but Avi Loeb, who's a Harvard professor who claims to have found fragments of alien technology from a meteor. And for me, like, even the fact that we have a Harvard professor kind of saying this shows the complete, like, mainstream reach of this alien discourse. Like, part of me thinks this kind of, like, ownership over alien technology, alien vehicles, like, obviously there is, like, such a kind of longstanding relationship between kind of alien speak and, like, geopolitical power, like, kind of is also inherently linked to like this like idea of like government distrust and like disinformation, misinformation. And I know it'd be interesting to hear like what you think about all this kind of like alien technology, alien vehicle discourse.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think a big part of the, focus on the alien technology and the potentials of this technology and retrieving these crafts and reverse engineering it is a kind of a way to speak to the stagnation of technological development, or, the way that technology is being implemented for kind of like, more and more, extreme forms of, personal surveillance tools or, military technology or kind of, technology that's only, only benefits the like ultra wealthy, space tourism, things like that. And kind of like the potential of, alien technology is kind of, it reignites the imagination of like the possibility of a new world that could be brought into existence by this technology. And this is really to the core of the UFO alien kind of, narrative. When it first exploded in the late 40s, this was the beginning of the space age and the promises of these new technology of going to space. The stories that kids were told in that days were, or that you could go to the moon for vacation for the weekend. This was like what technology was going to bring us. And then of course it went a different direction. So I think that has a lot to do with it. Yeah. I just looked this up, but this guy, Avi Loeb, he's part of the Galileo Project, which is a project at Harvard to search for extraterrestrial technology. That's a real risk you take when you start to like dive in seriously into, UFO and, non-human intelligence territories.
Yeah.
Specifically like making the attribution of like, this is specifically from an alien is like kind of like career suicide if you are a, if you're like an acclaimed scientist. But I mean, I think a big part of the shift that we're seeing now, like the paradigm shift that we're seeing now, is an attempt to try to take these things more seriously or kind of have a conversation that isn't completely colored by the wildest stories that have characterized UFOs. 70 years, which might be a good way to lead into talking about the, UFO story as, a limited hangout. So a limited hangout is a, it's kind of like a term of art for when a representative of the intelligence community, so like a spy, comes forward and does you know, either a press briefing or an interview with a journalist. And, you know, they offer disclosure. They offer inside information about their experience and kind of intel. And they offer it up to journalists in the hopes of influencing them. And it's really, you know, difficult, if not impossible, to kind of verify the claims they make. It's usually very vague. It's usually, you know, stuff that they heard secondhand. But it has this air of authenticity because they are, you know, from inside the intelligence community. So that's what a limited hangout is. And that is really like characterizes the UFO story from its inception. And in some ways, after kind of like looking at this stuff in totality, it starts to feel like the entire UFO story itself is a bit of fan fiction that was created by the military intelligence community for various purposes.
Yeah, no, what you're saying really reminds me of, so this guy, Richard Doty, like who I'm sure you're very familiar with, but for the listeners, he was basically this former Air Force, well, he was an Air Force officer, but now he's a former Air Force Office of Special Investigations agent who basically openly admitted to passing fake documents to UFO researchers in the 80s and 90s, which is really funny because then actually Chris Carter, just as like fun fact, but Chris Carter, who then made the X-Files, would then frequent all these like UFO alien groups. And a lot of what... like kind of these government officials like Richard Doty was feeding in would then obviously influence popular culture.
Yeah, yeah. And like Richard Doty, you know, he's a really, really interesting character because, you know, he's so influential in the UFO community as this limited hangout. And, you know, he kind of like is responsible for the Roswell story, which is like the most famous UFO story that kind of like defines... Well, yeah, so he was like feeding information about, you know, what happened with Roswell to the writer who wrote the book about the Roswell crash that came out in the 70s. This is all kind of in the Mirage Men documentary and book, which kind of like details Richard Doty's, you know, dealings throughout this period. So yeah, I mean, he was feeding information, and you know, sometimes they would go to like great lengths to stage hoaxes for people that were in this UFO community to like really get them to believe. The part that I find like really fascinating about this whole story is that, you know, it was a psyop in feeding these stories, but then at the same time, it was a bit of market research. Because they would kind of circulate a story, you know, he would have a meeting, like a private meeting with someone, and kind of like give them these like doctored, declassified documents, and then they would kind of go away for a couple months or like a year, and then come back and attend the UFO conferences, and they would observe how these stories that they created were circulating through this community, circulating through this information system, seeing what parts of the stories really held on, what parts kind of didn't. And, you know, I find this really interesting because this is a period where, you know, psychological operations is really coming into its own as a really important tool in the U.S. military's arsenal for kind of like influencing populations. And they're doing, you know, they're doing this market research, they're doing this psyops testing on, you know, American citizens.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, basically the Roswell incident, it happened in 1947. Basically, there was like a lot of kind of metal debris found from what was thought to be a military balloon. But then it was also believed to maybe be this alien spaceship cover up by the government. But yeah, basically one of the kind of OG alien stories out there.
I was going to say like the Roswell story is really interesting because, you know, by all accounts, it was a kind of a surveillance balloon that crashed, and they wanted to cover up the fact that they had this technology to spy on, the Soviets. And so they cooked up this UFO story, flying saucer story, But that kind of spun out of control and it turned into this craze where people started seeing them everywhere. People were creating hoaxes, doing all this crazy stuff. But it really was a way to cloak actual threats that were happening at the time. And a way to kind of inoculate the public against mass hysteria, because if you start seeing stories of alien invasions every single day, it starts to lose its kind of fear. You know, the public becomes a little more durable to these threats, which was also important during the Cold War.
Yeah, I mean, like, even now you can, like, definitely see, like, an uptick in alien stories. At least, like, I feel so, wait, was it January or February? That was the Chinese spy balloon, which, again, kind of sparked those alien rumors. I mean, even today, for instance, I was, there's apparently been, like, some alien abduction stories in, like, Peru in this, like, very remote village. And that's what, like a week after the US congressional hearing. And I know I've like, I know about you, like I keep on like, I feel like every day there's like a new headline coming out and I feel like it's almost like a domino effect in that sense. And kind of going back to like those like official like government narratives and stuff, like obviously the hearing itself. So before this kind of very public hearing happened previously, all these kind of mentions of UAPs, all this quote-unquote classified information was only really accessible to those with kind of certain like top-level clearance, national security, the military, and so on. And so, again, like it kind of really brings me to like think like, why is it that they chose to reveal or create this kind of public spectacle, I guess, like now? And I know it'd be interesting to hear like some of your theories, Jack.
Yeah, so I mean, this is, you know, this is something that I've been thinking about a lot, kind of like in my analysis of conspiracy theories and psyops and kind of like how it all works into geopolitical posturing. With the UAP hearings specifically, you know, this is a really strange situation, I think, that they had this hearing and specifically that they brought the two firsthand, you know, they brought Ryan Graves, who's a Navy fighter pilot, and a retired commander, David Fravor. And these are two people that personally saw UAPs during test flights. These aren't supernatural people. These are people that didn't want to have this experience and are very credible in what they saw. Now, that doesn't mean that it's attributable to aliens. It just means that what they saw can't really be explained with the, you know, our understanding of technology and physics as we understand it now. But there's a long history of secret military technology projects that are being developed, specifically ways to deceive and create decoys against radar, you know, to create manipulations in perception. You know, this is there's a long history of that. And these, you know, some of these tools, these kind of like radar decoys, actually kind of like look kind of similar to some of the stuff that is described by these two eyewitnesses. The part that I find really strange though is that these two eyewitnesses that came forward in this hearing, they're simply talking about their experience without making any kind of attribution. And then you have David Grush in the middle of them who's talking about all this kind of crazy stuff that he heard secondhand. And you know, it definitely seems like he really believes it. But, you know, it kind of muddies the water, right? You know, because, you know, we really want to take the UAP stuff seriously. But then when we have these stories of biologics being recovered and all these other things, it really kind of like muddies the waters. As well as, you know, people that called the hearing, specifically Representative Ana Paulina Luna, you know, she is, you know, she's a representative in Congress in Florida. She has some disputed biographical details, and she seems to have, you know, made up some of her personal history. And, you know, she's kind of like on the more conspiracy brained end of the spectrum of people that are in Congress. And so, like, you know, if you look at the test, you know, if you look at the hearing, she's the one really driving all of these questions about alien intelligence and technology and all of these other things that really seems to be her interest, whereas other representatives like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York, she's more drilling into the meat of the hearing, in my opinion, which is the, you know, this task force, this UAP retrieval program, which, if we are to believe Grush's testimony, is a secret government program that's been running for decades without knowledge of Congress. And so, that, you know, this is like really, you know, this is pretty serious stuff. And, you know, any way you square it, there's something going on, you know, and what it signals geopolitically is that the U.S. has either alien technology that it is reverse engineering. That's one possible, posturing, is that these hearings are making it known that we are doing this, or we are developing secret technology that's able to move in ways that we can't really understand, and then are kind of displaying it for the world to see in the guise of UAPs, that these are some sort of secret military equipment that's out there. So yeah, it's very, so it's kind of like a dominance. It's the U.S. is projecting geopolitical dominance really out of nothing. There's no evidence here. There's nothing really backing it up. But I imagine from the other countries looking at this, it is pretty pretty intimidating, I would say.
Yeah, because I mean, just going back to Grush as well, like, I mean, my main beef with him is, I think the guy like openly admitted to first getting into this whole like alien UFO thing after that 2017 New York Times article came out. And basically, for context, I think like a lot of this kind of most recent wave of alien discourse can definitely be like traced back to this 2017 article, which has since been completely discredited, which was again like calling for all of, like, it basically like brought on the new wave of kind of alien speak. And so Grush, who previously had like no interest in aliens apparently, then read this article and then decided, you know what, this sounds pretty convincing to me, I'm gonna, you know, go out on a public scale and talk about this. And so the guy just seems like very sus and unconvincing, but I completely agree with what you're saying and with regards to like the technology side of it. Like I was thinking, like, even, I mean, obviously this isn't related to aliens, but like Elon Musk's Starlink, for instance, like my friend was saying, she was on some island in Greece and could literally see it in the sky. And I was thinking like, wow, if like someone who didn't know about this technology saw those things, like obviously like the first thing you're going to say is like, oh, this is like some mystical or like extraterrestrial like sign or appearance. And to kind of like extend that further and like look at all the technology that we do have coming, kind of like springing up at the moment. Like, for instance, I don't think it's a coincidence that we use language such as non-human intelligence to refer to aliens, when at the same time, AI is like posing this like genuinely big and scary like existential threat for all of us, which is also a very real and concrete non-human intelligence. So yeah, I think it's very easy to kind of, it almost feels too easy to then like conclude like, ah, yes, these things must be aliens, when in fact, like, say, if it is like a government developing a new technology, it's probably actually quite boring what's happening behind closed doors. And it almost feels, I don't know, in my opinion, at least, a lot like sexier and also a lot more reductive to just be like, oh, it's like the green man in the sky or something.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and that is what makes kind of, that's what makes Grush's whole kind of like position this pretty, pretty sus. You know, he doesn't have any firsthand accounts. He's not releasing any code names of secret programs or locations. It's all kind of stuff that he's been fed, or, you know, he's been told by other people. in the intelligence community. So yeah, it is kind of tricky there. Yeah, I mean, the connection to AI, I think, is really important. You know, there is kind of like a reckoning, you know, existential reckoning happening now with AI and how it's going to change our experience of images, and the ability to kind of create a hoax so easily for anything. You know, and this is really kind of, again, like, gets to the core of the UFO story, is the creation of hoaxes and the, you know, kind of the fabrication of stories as a kind of addiction, or kind of like something that people really love to do, and get the story out there and get people in the press whipped up and, you know, really interested in you know, a crop circle that you made, you know. And that's something that's very, very contemporary, is very modern. Is like, it's not enough to just write a fictional novel. You know, you really want to have that real hit of having the story circulate as a real thing, you know, circulate in the press.
I know that Trevor Paglen, an artist who kind of tracks a lot of these UAPs, like, definitely always, I mean, what you're saying reminds me of this idea that, yeah, it's like space as like a kind of concept is something that is so out of kind of human perception that it almost kind of promotes this like place to kind of cast our desires and our like kind of fears and collective like psyche or whatever. But yeah, like, I think what you're saying, like, the talk of aliens definitely really taps into our desire to kind of uncover these hidden truths and realities, which is like so intrinsically linked to kind of the internet and where a lot of like this kind of alien speak came from to begin with, like with chat rooms and everything.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and it's a story, you know, if you look at the way that the UFO alien story is structured, it really is a story that's born out of the information age. You know, it doesn't have a specific author. It's kind of like a modern folklore that is, rather than kind of like a story at the beginning and end, it's a collection of data points. It's a collection of experiences that you can kind of put in a database and cross-reference and pull out patterns from, you know. And that's something that is really, you know, you have to kind of see that developing in concert with our ideas of the internet and how information is going to circulate through, you know, through the internet.
Going back to the internet side of it as well, like, I know one thing that I know both of us kind of been looking a lot into recently, and this definitely kind of contributes to the whole like magical thinking or conspiratorial thinking like aspect of the alien story, which I guess is the foundation of it anyway. But I think especially when I kind of reflect on how this story has developed since, like, let's say, like the 90s, when the internet was still kind of in its infancy. Obviously, we've had social media since then. I think like the general kind of rise and uptick in conspiratorial thinking is definitely like a symptom of the pandemic, when all of us were online for so long. And we see this kind of like all across the board, like from like people just buying more crystals and being into like more kind of like new agey things, to even just like kind of like this, like the popularity of like spiritual memes and like all of that stuff. But I think all of it kind of boils down, like, I feel like all roads like lead back to this kind of breakdown of consensus reality, like, whereas like, and consensus reality, I guess, being like what we all collectively believe to be true or false. And whereas maybe there was still kind of like a grain of that before the pandemic, if I'm going to be like positive, perhaps, I feel like now it's just completely burst into oblivion. And that's like no doubt like turbocharged by, I don't know, yeah, like AI really coming into the fore this year. And the fact that like there's literally like AI and deepfakes like completely changing the course of elections, like across, I don't know, like Turkey, India, no doubt, like the UK very, very soon. And just like seeing how all of this just kind of contributes not only to the alien narrative, but to our general kind of like sense of unreality that we're all experiencing right now. Like, so aliens just like don't seem like that far of a stretch, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, totally. I mean, a recent Pew Research poll kind of confirms this idea, is that it says, it had 65% of Americans believing in UFOs.
Oh, wow.
So that's like, it's like a majority. That's so crazy. Like maybe belief in UFOs and aliens is the new consensus reality. It's something we can all agree on. And you know, this was kind of like another kind of remarkable thing from the UAP hearings, is that you had representatives from, you know, the left and the right, kind of all across the spectrum, coming together to investigate and try to provide, you know, accountability and transparency. And that's something that in the States we're not used to, you know. So that's, you know, maybe we need the threat of extraterrestrial invasion to kind of like bring us together politically, perhaps.
Yeah. I think actually one of my favorite, you know, I don't even think it's a meme, to be honest, but one of my favorite, I'm just going to call it a meme, was I think Joshua Citarella, like our friend and like the internet researcher, recently posted something on his Instagram, which was just a picture of a flying saucer. And it was like, it said something along the lines of, "I want to believe, but then the government said they were real." And I just found it the funniest thing.
I mean, that's so good. I mean, it's a real, it is a real reversal where like now, it feels like if you are a skeptic and trying to debunk this stuff, you start seeming, you know, even crazier than the people that were like trying to prove it before.
That's
pretty wild.
What's your take on it personally? Like, if I was to ask you, do you think aliens are real? What would be your answer?
So my, you know, personally, I do believe aliens are real. Like, I believe that there's like extraterrestrial intelligence out there, or, you know, interdimensional intelligence. So like, you know, Jacques Vallée is kind of like the preeminent ufologist, as well as like one of the creators of ARPANET and data scientist. So kind of like, you know, a founder of the internet. But he's been
what's ARPANET, sorry?
ARPANET is the precursor to the internet that was developed in you know, the 1950s as a way to distribute information across the US. So like if one part of the country got hit with like a nuke, then the information would be kind of dispersed throughout the system. And then ARPANET developed into a series of intranets between different universities. And then that developed into the internet more broadly as we know it today. So he worked on that project. He's a kind of a data scientist and has been studying UFOs kind of like since the beginning. And you know, his, I really, I kind of take up his viewpoint on this stuff, is that, you know, it's not necessarily like aliens as we understand them in science fiction, you know, but there definitely is something going on, and we have to just kind of like look at all of these accounts and try to take in all of the possible different explanations and think about it holistically, and then try to find patterns of kind of like an underlying nature throughout all of these different possibilities. And so, you know, he became kind of notorious in the UFO community because he refuted the extraterrestrial hypothesis and put forward this interdimensional thesis, which has become more popular nowadays. And the way it goes is basically, you can imagine, you know, different universes, different like parallel universes or different dimensions that all have like an Earth in the different dimension. And then, you know, you could imagine one of these other dimensions, the creatures, the version of humans in that dimension is able to create a technology to move between these dimensions. And so the UFOs we see are kind of like travelers from these different dimensions that have come to visit and see what's going on in this one. You know, and like, you know, I find that quite compelling.
Yeah,
I find that quite compelling as a story. And, you know, he actually kind of tries to back that up by studying this stuff and looking at you know, a vast array of different stories. And before the government shut it down, he had a database going of 20,000 UAP and alien stories that he was kind of collating from military and civilian sources, and to try to make this kind of like database and specifically like creating values for each of these stories so that you could kind of pull out patterns and use AI to pull out patterns from all these different stories. But then the government shut it down.
Oh, wait, when did the government shut it down?
This is recently. This is like, I think like last fall, but basically,
oh,
yeah.
No
so,
way. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, there's been like kind of like a shifting sentiment, you know, for the past couple of years. There's been an increase in a push towards declassification and transparency and bringing in more technologists and scientists to kind of look at this issue. But after this recent, you know, a lot of publicity and media, you know, media circus, there's been a shift backwards, and now it's kind of seen as more of a security threat to have all of this information out there. So they're kind of like pulling back a lot. And so, you know, and that's why kind of David Grush came forward, because he was facing retaliation internally where people didn't want him to publish on this. So, yeah, I predict that there's going to be a kind of a shift backwards towards more secrecy, and we're going to have like less forthcoming releases going forward. It's my personal assessment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Yeah, like I really like to kind of take, I mean, for me personally, and like disclaimer, like I'm obviously like huge countercultural alien fan. I love the X-Files. I love Fifth Element personally.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it's really important to kind of zoom out and look at aliens, like not so much in the very kind of official like sense of these are green men. Like, I don't know. I find the idea of like, okay, do aliens exist? Are they really going to be like green men and flying saucers and vehicles that we as humans like happen to recognize as saucers in ways that our culture has depicted them for the last, like, I don't know, like 70 years or so? It's probably unlikely. Also, the fact that they, for the most part, seem to only really touch base in America, or the occasional sighting around the world. But yeah, I do really like looking, like kind of taking a step back, I guess, and kind of, yeah, like seeing aliens. I know, for instance, like I think like a lot of deep sea creatures are very like alien to me personally.
Totally.
And like, I think if it's kind of, if it doubles as like something beyond human understanding and comprehension, I think there's definitely a lot to be said about kind of what you were alluding to earlier about like the way that technology is developing at the moment. There are so many things kind of, yeah, beyond our kind of human knowledge, our empirical reason. Like, I think developments in science across the last few years has like definitely proven that, you know, we're not really at the at like the top of the hierarchy, the top of the food chain. And, you know, in a way, like I find that very like humbling. And it's interesting to see like how this will develop. But yeah, like I think aliens as like a folkloric symbol especially is something that tickles me. I feel like with this topic especially, it's something that we can just kind of speak about forever. There's like so many different wormholes and rabbit holes, and I think like we've covered a lot of ground so far, and I just want to say like thank you so much for joining the podcast. This has been a very enlightening and slightly confusing conversation. So I'm glad that we could sit down and untangle this whole alien discourse together. But thank you so much for listening. This has been Logged On. Please like, subscribe, and listen to wherever you listen to your podcasts, and tune in for the next episode.
Logged On.